Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is Monday, July 16th, 2018, the 4th of Av, 5778. Make sure to get in touch with me during the week, Josh at thelandofisrael.com. On Facebook, it's Joshua Haston, and on Twitter, at Josh Haston. Over 200 projectiles, rockets fired at southern Israel between Friday night and Saturday night over the course of Shabbat. Israel, of course, responding to the Hamas terror, a crazy situation. I know my phone started beeping in the middle of the night, Friday night, with the Tzev Adom, the code red siren alerting of incoming projectiles from Gaza. You still have the burning kites. You have the burning balloons or causing massive agricultural and environmental damage to southern Israel. We're going to go to the phone right now to discuss the situation with somebody who has been down living in Sderot for nearly 20 years, if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Dov Fendel. He is the head of the Max and Ruth Schwartz Hesder Institutions on the front lines, just a kilometer from the Gaza border there in the town of Sderot. Rabbi Fendel, welcome to Israel Uncensored here on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com.
Thank you so much.
It is now Monday morning. What is the situation in southern Israel along the Gaza border as we're speaking now?
Well, it really began a few months ago with the kites that it was dismissed by very important people in the Israeli government. They said it's child's play, and we knew that it wasn't. We knew that something very wrong is happening when field after field. We have an awesome picture of my grandchildren sitting behind black instead of taking beautiful pictures of them behind beautiful flowers in black burnt fields. And that's something that shouldn't have been allowed. And once that's allowed, of course, the next step is that the Palestinians feel that they could barrage us. We're talking about almost 15 years. And I'm beginning to see more and more how terror, and it's just the booms. It's just the fright, what it does to families, what it does to little kids. I'm seeing it more and more, and you should imagine that after all these years, I'd get used to it. But since it was a break, and then it starts again and starts again, the impact is becomes magnified, and that's their goal. Their goal is to weaken communities, to weaken families, to have little children with traumas, and a country that respects itself has to make it so clear that we're not going to allow that.
And where were you? Describe, where were you this past Shabbat when the rockets once again started to fall on Sderot and on many communities throughout the western Negev?
We had so many guests. We had guests from all over the world, and we had guests children from even a home. 10 children were in our house, and it was a tremendous environment. And then these guys got frightened, but they all of a sudden began to see what the Israel experience and the experience that people have been living through throughout so many years. The booms were frightening. They were very close and very scary. We thought that the Iron Dome, I was very part of the booms. I was in the Max and Ruth Schwartz Beit Midrash, and we were listening to Torah Shiurim, and the person that was giving the shiur didn't even stop, you know, as people started running into the Beit Midrash. When you see people running in, you know that something's going on outside. And then I went in the Shabbos afternoon. I walked over to the house, the Bukhris house that was hit. And it's a terrible sight to have to see again and again. One of the rockets fell right by the house that I used to live in. And so that's our community. And then when we used to live there, it was, this is something that we have to stop. This is something the Palestinians are trying their best to make this place into a ghost town. We're not going to let them. We're going to turn into a capital of Zionism and Torah. They're trying to destroy. They can't keep up with the pace of all the building that's going on here. They're trying to break our spirit. They don't realize that it's invincible, unbreakable, thousands of years old. I must tell that Suda Shlishit, we all get together and sing. This Shabbat, we decided to do it inside. Usually we do it outside. But since there were so many people, we did it inside. The singing was awesome. Very spiritual, beautiful feeling. It reminded us of those years that there were intensive Qassam rockets. What it does is it brings spirituality. It brings us all together. It stops all the petty arguments and creates a very, very pure and beautiful, paradoxically, a beautiful atmosphere. There's some people that weren't here this Shabbat. They felt bad, and they were told by their friends that they missed something very special.
So on one hand, you have the rockets, which are uniting and unifying the people of Israel, the people of Sderot, people getting together, showing their love for one another, showing support for the families affected. But as you mentioned, I mean, this has been going on for an entire generation. You've an entire generation of children growing up, and they think, as you mentioned, that this is a normal reality when it's absolutely not normal. Israel has gone into Gaza three separate times, and it looks like the escalation is has increased. It certainly has over the last several months, with also the burning kites. The firebomb kites and the firebomb balloons, and now the rockets again, over 200 projectiles over Shabbat. I mean, when is enough enough? When, I mean, three operations in Gaza and still Hamas is ruling in Gaza, calling the shots. I mean, what's it really going to take? God forbid we should not have to have a major tragedy for the government to do what is necessary. What do you think it's going to take to end this madness once and for all, Rabbi?
Well, we have to also remember how it started. It started from the disengagement, and the disengagement was a hideous mistake, and we can almost say a crime. It's wrong to take away so many beautiful settlements. And the reason I'm mentioning that now is because the answer is to build more and more. They have to see, after the disengagement, their religious leaders said, "Look, Israel is defeatable, and we told you that we're going to get them out of Gush Katif. The next stage is to get them out of southern Israel, to weaken them. And we have to reverse that process. We have to strengthen our hold in Judea and Samaria and in the Gaza Strip. We have to talk seriously about the going back. Why in the world should we leave that part of Israel? Why should we leave it to terrorists, to people that instead of the beautiful agriculture and industry that was developed, are involved in creating terror?" So what I would say is that what we need to do is to talk more Zionism and to build more and to demand from the Israeli government that there be a very big buffer zone, that one rocket is much too many, and there's nothing that's just a trickle, and to take those things out of our vocabulary. So I heard on the radio one very important army officer and advisor to Netanyahu. And he said that look, these firebombs are not easy for us, but that's not a real threat. It's only money, and our real problem is the Iranians and the people that and the nuclear threat and the Syrian border. And he advised us to calm down. I called him up, and this was just a few weeks ago, and I said, "I think you're making a very big mistake. This has to be stopped now. This is unbearable." Not because we can't bear it, because a state can't allow that to happen. And that's something that our pride, and pride is not a bad word. That's what creates a very strong, proud nation that doesn't allow their society to be interrupted in such a way.
Rabbi Dov Fendel, the founder and head of the Max and Ruth Schwartz Hesder Institutions, as it says here on their website, forging ahead on the front lines. That's exactly what they're doing, building a beautiful community down in Sderot, despite the rocket attacks, despite years and years, a whole generation of attacks on their community, growing and thriving and building a beautiful community down there in the Gaza periphery. I want to thank you so much for your time today. Continue to be safe and keep up the holy work that you're doing, strengthening the town of Sderot on the front lines of Israel. I want to thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
All the best. We are going to take a short break and be right back. Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. So much more news to cover. We'll talk about the Gaza situation and many other things in the headlines. Get in touch with me during the week, Josh at thelandofisrael.com, on Facebook at Joshua Haston, rather, on Twitter at Josh Haston. And we'll be right back after the short break.
You're listening to the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. broadcasting the truth and beauty of Israel to the world.
And we are back. Josh Haston here. Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. Thanks so much for joining us. And a big thank you to Rabbi Dov Findel for that interview. I spent 3 years down in Sderot with Rabbi Findel working at the Hesder Yeshiva. I was doing their public relations from 2007 to 2009. And it was shortly after Hamas took over that I started working down there. So I know the experience all too well, having to run and having those 15 seconds when you get the Tzeva Adom, the code red warning signal. So I can, in fact, imagine what they're going through down there. And those were the days before, by the way, before Iron Dome. So you knew when you had 15 seconds, you knew there was an incoming rocket, there would be impact. So thank God at least we have the Iron Dome. Unfortunately, over the weekend, 3 people injured, as the rabbi mentioned. In moderate to light condition, suffering shrapnel wounds after a rocket landed in the yard of a home, sending glass and shrapnel everywhere on top of a family in their living room over Shabbat. That is just, I guess, the tip of the iceberg with 200 rockets coming into southern Israel, not just Sderot, but all the other kibbutzim and communities along the border. So Prime Minister Netanyahu, in response on Sunday at the cabinet security meeting, said saying that there must be an end to the kite terrorism while a supposed ceasefire, and we'll talk about this soon, with Hamas took effect. I guess there were some international parties there who were able to negotiate some sort of truce, if you will, which is all a big joke with Hamas, because maybe they weren't firing rockets on Sunday and on Monday. Rockets did continue into Saturday night, but they still, yesterday, I think there were 16 fires as a result of the flammable balloons and kites into Israel. So I don't know what kind of ceasefire this is. The prime minister making clear that he did not accept Hamas's interpretation of a ceasefire, saying, quote, "I heard it being said that Israel has agreed to a ceasefire that would allow the continuation of terrorism by incendiary kites and balloons. This is incorrect. We are not prepared to accept any attacks against us. We will respond appropriately." This reported by the Jerusalem Post this morning. At the same time, Israel deploying the Iron Dome, more of the Iron Dome missile defense batteries across central Israel and reinforcing those in southern Israel. In addition, there was a group of reservists called up as well to man the Iron Dome defense system. And in addition, reported by the J Post, our friend Anna Ehrenheim, the Air Force struck 3 cells of terrorists launching balloons on Sunday. And again, it's madness. Where will it lead? Will it lead to another ground operation in Gaza? I hope it doesn't lead to that, because I am hopeful we could take care of this through the air, not having to send our soldiers door to door like they've done so many times before. And and hopefully it'll end soon. But again, 3 times Israel had to go back into Gaza, and let's see if there will be a 4th. This disturbs me tremendously. This was in yesterday's Jerusalem Post. In response to what's going on in the south, a senior Israel Air Force officer said that while, quote, "in the last few hours, Hamas has chosen to fire projectiles towards communities close to the Gaza border, you can't take it for granted they will stop there." However, he warned that Israel would respond in a tougher manner if Hamas increased their distance of rocket fired over 10 kilometers. I have a major problem with that. I understand, I was talking to people about on this topic on Facebook, I understand a longer projectile, a rocket that can land in the center of the country, has a higher payload, and I understand there is a greater concentration of people when you get to the coastal plain in Israel. I'm talking about the greater Tel Aviv area. But to say that we're going to step up our game if rockets start landing further than 10 kilometers, isn't it enough that one rocket is fired on a community in southern Israel? Why should the lives of those living on the Gaza border be any less important than those living in Jerusalem, Beersheba, Tel Aviv, or some of the major population centers? I get the science and I get the population statistics, but one rocket, one mortar on a community, one rocket on Sderot is one too many. And I think this was a mistake to say Israel's got to step up their game. And all these warnings, you know, we've heard these for months and years. Other warnings, both from the prime minister and in addition, the defense minister, and many people sounded off. Those who are in our leadership talking about, according to this, the IDF has struck Hamas with the hardest blow since Operation Protective Edge. According to our prime minister, our defense minister, and everybody saying that we've delivered a major blow, and all these threats that will continue to do so, they'll pay a heavy price. I'm tired of the threats, honestly, people. I'm tired of the threats time after time. We know how to deal with this. We know how to respond. We'll respond accordingly. It'll be a heavy blow. They'll know we mean business here over and over again, okay? They'll pay a heavy price, said the defense minister. I'm tired of these phony ceasefires, and Education Minister Naftali Bennett also attacked the defense minister, his decision to halt IDF bombardments of targets in Gaza, calling it a ceasefire. I agree with Naftali Bennett, Minister Bennett, because enough is enough to say over and over, we're going to trust Hamas to stop. And every time they call a ceasefire, dictate ceasefire in their terms, they keep firing, whether it's the rockets or the kites or what have you. Here, Naftali Bennett is telling, is reported here in Times of Israel, quote, at a time convenient to them, Hamas dictates that it is now a ceasefire. So let it be clear, a ceasefire without stopping terror is not Israeli deterrence. It is capitulation. I agree with Naftali Bennett on this one. That is not a true ceasefire. It is nonsense. You can't make a deal with a terror organization, even if it's through a third party. I do not accept this reality, and neither should anybody living on the southern border. I understand the north, and we'll talk about that in a second. The north is the greatest threat, Hezbollah, and their 100,000 rockets reportedly aimed at Israel. I understand that, but nobody in this country should feel a sense of fear. Those images of the children sleeping in the stairwell on Friday night, not able to sleep in their beds, having to take cover. The image of that woman, if you saw on Facebook or on social media, literally going into an attack on the street there, ducking, hiding with her children, having a going into shock, rather. That's completely unacceptable. It's amazing that Rabbi Findel is able to maintain his motivation and inspire so many people down there in southern Israel, in addition to his students, the residents, and the whole community at large. And keep everyone in good spirits and unified and singing songs as the rockets are falling. That's pretty amazing. So turning to the north, I was on the Kinneret on Wednesday having a vacation, sitting at the shores of the Kinneret when I hear a large boom. Look up into the air and I see the tail of some sort of projectile, and then I hear a second boom. And what in fact happened was Syria had sent over a drone over northern Israel. Apparently it wasn't a military drone, it was a spy drone, and it penetrated into Israeli airspace, and Israel used a Patriot missile and knocked the Syrian drone out of the sky. Actually, it happened a second time on Friday. Another Syrian drone was shot out of the sky, but I was there over my head. I'm seeing all this happen. I'm looking at my phone and the code red siren is going off in different parts of the Golan and the Jordan Valley and whatnot. And then with my own eyes, seeing the tail of our Patriot, it was pretty amazing, honestly. I mean, some people were scared and they ordered all the boats to come out of the Kinneret as the army came in to try to find the pieces of the drone, which fell down into the Kinneret. But that's pretty amazing. I mean, we have these capabilities, whether it's offensive or defensive or what have you. We have the know-how. Now we just have to have the leaders make the necessary decisions, as hard as they are, in order to stop and thwart attacks, whether they're from the north or whether they're from the south. Reported in several news sources, including Times of Israel and the Jerusalem Post here, a Palestinian was killed in a mysterious Gaza blast. He actually was the head of a rocket unit. You talk about karma. the head of a missile unit belonging to an offshoot of what's known as the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigades. That's actually a Fatah-affiliated terror organization, was killed in a blast that rocked central Gaza yesterday morning. He was killed along with his son, and apparently he was in the process of manufacturing rockets. And we call this a work accident when a terrorist is killed in the midst of perfecting his trade, so to speak, trying to fasten together these rockets in order to attack Israel. Switching gears here, another one of these staged birthright walkouts took place yesterday. Apparently, 8 students spontaneously, and I say that sarcastically, got off their birthright group bus and decided that they were going to get on a tour with another extremist organization instead of Birthright. This is the second time it's happened. And who is behind all this? A radical group called If Not Now, the same people who are saying the mourner's prayer, Kaddish, over Hamas terrorists. So they have succeeded twice now this summer in infiltrating Birthright trips. So apparently yesterday, 8 members of Birthright who are receiving a free trip to Israel got off their bus and said, "We're not giving a full story of Israel." And they jumped on a bus headed by Chagit Ofran from Shalom Achshav, Peace Now's so-called Settlement Watch Division. Whether it's this Peace Now group or Breaking the Silence, these kids are taking advantage of a free trip to Israel, getting off their buses and joining extremists. And I hope Birthright is automatically canceling their return tickets home. Send the bill to their parents and say to them, your child has been given a free trip to Israel. That free trip is now costing you $5,000 in fees for a one-way return ticket home. I hope that's in fact what Birthright is doing. I know they're not talking about it publicly a lot. I know they're trying to stay under the radar, out of the media. They don't want to discuss it, but I hope that's what they're doing. Once these kids get off their buses on their own, they then have to sign a waiver saying that Birthright is not responsible for them in any way, shape, or form from that point on. But I hope Birthright does the right thing. I hope they're sending them home and making them pay for their own tickets. But it's starting to happen now and then. These spoiled, rotten brats with free tickets to Israel on Birthright. And by the way, I said before sarcastically that this is spontaneous. This is not spontaneous. This is premeditated. If Not Now is sending these spies, if you will, into Israel in order to infiltrate these Birthright groups. And then they cause a whole big scene and they post it on Facebook Live of them getting up and getting off their buses in the name of what they believe is the good of the world or whatnot. But what they're really doing is they're harming Israel. It's not a phenomenon yet, I would say. It's happened several times, but they are trying to hurt the state of Israel. They're trying to hurt the IDF is actually what they're doing. And they are siding with the extremists. And I'm sure those in Hamas are actually laughing and are proud of these idiots. And I'll call them what they are. So if Hamas is proud of your work and the BDS is proud of what you do, it's all related, by the way. Let's not joke. Let's not kid ourselves here. BDS is related to terror. It's all one big anti-Israel, anti-IDF campaign, regardless of their methodology. And these kids getting off the buses, this is a victory, a small victory, because it's really meaningless at the end of the day. But they're causing a media storm over this. But this is a victory for BDS and Hamas. So congratulations to these so-called Jews who are getting a free trip to Israel and are exploiting Birthright in order to cause these scenes. We'll see how Birthright responds. We'll see how this plays out as the summer goes on with Birthright groups still here on the ground. And finally, one last story for today, reported by JNI Media. Hundreds gathered this past Saturday to participate in a memorial race in honor of First Sergeant Hale Stawi, a Druze border policeman killed last year in a terrorist attack on the Temple Mount. Among the hundreds of participants were activists from the Zionist organization named Tirtzu, who presented Stawi's father with a jersey signed by Spanish soccer star, that's football, if you're from Europe, Sergio Ramos, whom Hale, the policeman, admired so much. He even named his son after Sergio Ramos. So here's images here printed on the Jewish Press website by JNI Media of the father of this brave border policeman who was murdered on the Temple Mount. Hail Stawi, a signed jersey from Sergio Ramos. Very sad, very tragic, but, you know, they accuse Israel of being an apartheid state and discriminating against these minorities. And you see here how we respect this Druze family who lost a loved one defending the state of Israel, loyal and defending the Jewish state of Israel. Of course, this was when three terrorists in 2017 from Umm al-Fahim opened fire on a group of border policemen on the Temple Mount, killing Stawi and policeman Kamil Shanan, also a Druze policeman. And that's going to do it for today. Big shout out to Benjamin Bresky, engineer extraordinaire. Without him, there is no sound. My name is Josh Haston. This is Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. For the 16th of July, 2018, we are approaching the saddest day on the Jewish calendar, Tisha B'Av. When we speak again, please God, next week will be post the Tisha B'Av fast. So everyone out there who is fasting, have a meaningful one. Hopefully the Mashiach, the Messiah, will come between now and Sunday, and the holiday of Tisha B'Av, the fast of Tisha B'Av, will turn into a joyous celebration, and we won't be fasting. That is my biggest hope between now and when we speak again next week. Of course, everyone out there in this wonderful world of ours, be safe. Get in touch with me during the week. Josh at thelandofisrael.com, on Facebook, Joshua Haston, and on Twitter at Josh Haston. Wishing you a meaningful fast and all the best from a sunny Jerusalem. Shalom, shalom.
All men dream, but not equally, says T.E. Lawrence. Those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their minds wake in the day to find that it was vanity. But the dreamers of the day are dangerous men. They may act their dream with open eyes to make it possible. Now I'm trying to keep my eyes open and watch as my dream unfolds around me, because I'm Rav Mike Foyer, and this is The Jewish Story.
Join Rav Mike Foyer for the best Jewish history podcast, The Jewish Story, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com.